Church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcome, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Amen. Wow, this looks like a 9 o'clock or 10 o'clock service. What time do we have? 10, 9? 9, 10. 9 o'clock service. Whatever that is, 10. Yeah, whatever. Yeah. 9:15 service? The 9:15 service? Amen. So, I'm just going to pray real quick. Father God, we just thank you for this time tonight, Lord. And Father, I just pray that you open our hearts to your Holy Spirit, God, and that we would be good ground, Father, that brings forth, that takes that seed in, Father God, to bring forth fruit for your kingdom, Father. Lord, everything that's not of you, God, just cleanse it from us, Father, that we would be vessels fit for your purpose, Father, in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. So about 5 years into our ministry, my kids were still young, and, you know, the church was young. Matt was working full time, and I really suffered with panic attacks really bad. I had bad panic attacks. I had really bad anxiety. I wasn't sleeping good at all. And this actually probably went on for probably the first 5 years of our ministry. I mean, it was really rough on me. I went to see a counselor, and I was taking Paxil, and then I got off Paxil, and it made me sick. And I mean, I was really, really messed up for a good 5 years. I don't know how I did it. It was by the grace of God, man. I mean, it was the Holy Spirit that just only got me through that time. And I was at church one time, and, you know, I'm at church, I was really good at, you know, just faking it. Cause I'm a good worker. And so I would get in there and I just do what needs to be done. And I could just do it while I was there. Right. And, there's a lady that it's not Pastor Amber, but we had another woman that did the children's ministry back then. And she looked at me and she looked at my face and she's like, "Are you okay?" And I was like, "No." Right. And so she invited me to the Sunday night service at another church. And I was at the service, and it's so freeing to be at other services where you don't have to minister to people. You can just get ministered to. And I was just in the audience there in the congregation, and I'm worshiping God, and I'm just crying, and I'm like, "God, I just need something. I just need something." And during worship, the Lord said, "Run to the altar and I'll heal you." And I was like, I started looking around because there's nobody at the altar. There's not one person at the altar. There's a guy up here singing, and there's nobody at the altar. And I started looking around and I was like, "God, what?" And he's like, "You better do it now." And so I just said, "Okay, if I'm," and literally I dropped everything. I was in the back and I ran to the front. I mean, I ran to the front and I just dropped down the altar and I just began pouring my heart out to God. And, he completely met me that night, and I was healed, and I knew it. I knew I was healed. And I went home, and I remember I went home that night, and my husband was there, and Pastor Christian, if y'all remember, there. And I walked in, and I had one of those heavenly experiences, y'all. I had some kind of out of body experience where I went to heaven. I mean, it was just amazing. It was just, I can't even explain it. It was so crazy amazing. But I came home, and my husband and Christian both look at me and they said, "Your face is glowing." And I was like, "What?" And I'm like this. And they're like, "No, literally, what happened to you? Your face is glowing." And I was like, "You don't even, if I can even explain it, I couldn't even explain what had happened." But when God says go, you go. When God says do, you do. And sometimes God wants it instant. He wants you to do it when he tells you to do it. Because sometimes there's just a small window of opportunity. And if we miss it, we miss it. Amen? Amen? So are you willing to go when God tells you to go? Are you willing to do what God tells you to do? Are you willing to say what God tells you to say when he tells you to go do and say. So in this next season that the church is coming into, folks, we need to be so close to the Holy Spirit, so in the Word of God, that when the Spirit says go, you're go. Yeah. That you're already ready and willing, and you can hear the voice of the Lord. So when he says it's time to get up and go and do, then you get up and go and do. We need to have those spiritual ears on, because the time is short and this window of opportunity will only be open for a short amount of time. And we can't wait any longer to obey him. This is the season we're coming into, because God is making a fast work of things. So he says, I need people that are ready when I say go. They're already ready. They're already prepared. They're right there. And I need them to go. Amen. Turn with me to 2 Chronicles chapter 18. And Pastor Todd put this together for me. I don't remember that snowman's name. What's his name? Olaf. So Olaf up there. It's pretty funny, right? Oh, I already have my bookmark here. So in 2 Chronicles chapter 18 here, we have King Ahab and the prophet Micaiah. Starting in verse 1, it says, now Jehoshaphat had riches and honors in abundance and joined affinity with Ahab. So Jehoshaphat was king of Judah. At this time, Israel had split into two kingdoms. And we have the king, so we have Judah and Israel, right? And so here we have Jehoshaphat was the king of Judah, and Ahab is the king of Israel. And Ahab, if you have any knowledge of your history of all Bible history, Ahab did the most evil of any other king in the history of kings because of his wife Jezebel. Y'all remember Jezebel? See, y'all know the name Jezebel. Well, Ahab was Jezebel's husband. And so verse 2, it says, and after certain years, he went down to Ahab to Samaria, and Ahab killed sheep and oxen for him in abundance and for the people that he had with him, and persuaded him to go up with him to Ramoth-Gilead. So they're forming an alliance here. Ahab, king of Israel, said to Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, will you go with me to Ramoth-Gilead? And he answered him, I am as you are, and my people as your people, and we will be with you in war. And so Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, he says, I pray you, inquire of the Lord today. So Jehoshaphat was a godly king, and so he was telling Ahab here, he said, let's inquire of the Lord whether or not we should go to battle. That sounds like a pretty good plan to me. Therefore, the king of Israel gathered together prophets, 400, okay? 400 prophets. And he said to them, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle or not? And they said, go up, for God will deliver it in the king's hands. But Jehoshaphat said, see, something was wrong in Jehoshaphat's spirit, right? So he says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord? There's 400 prophets here, but is there not one of the Lord that we may inquire of him? So the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, yeah, there's one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. He never prophesied good to me, but always evil. The same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say that. And the king of Israel called for one of his officers, said, fetch Micaiah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on thrones, clothed in their robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering in of the gate of Samaria, and all the prophets prophesied before them. So they're still prophesying. So Zedekiah, the son of Shemaiah, had made him horns of iron and said, thus says the Lord, with these you shall push Syria until they are consumed. So he's, you know, here the prophet, he's like, I'm of God, I made these horns, you know, with these you're going to push through, right? So now all the prophets prophesied so. So they all prophesied the same thing. Go up to Ramoth-Gilead, prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. And the messenger that went to call Micaiah spoke to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let your word, therefore, I pray you, be like one of theirs and speak good. So now he's telling him, you need to speak good. But Micaiah said, as the Lord lives, even what my God says, that and only that will I speak. So when he came to the king said to him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, yeah, go up and prosper. They shall be delivered in your hand. The king said to him, how many times shall I adjure you that you say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? So he already knew that he was lying to him, right? And he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell you that he would not prophesy good unto me, but only evil? Again, he said, therefore, hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting upon his throne and all the host of heaven standing on his right hand and on his left. The Lord said, who shall entice Ahab, king of Israel, that he may go up and fall at Ramoth-Gilead? And one spoke, saying after this manner, and another saying after that manner. Then there came out a spirit and stood before the Lord and said, I will entice him. And the Lord said, how? And he said, I will go out and be a lying spirit in the mouth of all his prophets. The Lord said, you shall entice him and you shall also prevail. Go out and do even so. So all the 400 prophets were prophesying by a lying spirit, right? Now, therefore, behold, the Lord has put a lying spirit in the mouth of these prophets, and the Lord has spoken evil against you. Then Zedekiah came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto you? Right? So now he's all haughty, high and mighty, and he says, well, I have God's spirit. When did it leave me and speak through you? Micaiah said, behold, you shall see on the day when you shall go into inner chamber to hide yourself. And the king of Israel said, take Micaiah, carry him to Amnon, the governor's city, and Joash, the king's son. Thus says the king, put the fellow in prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. Micaiah said, if you certainly return in peace, then has not the Lord spoken by me? And he said, hearken, all you people. So we see here, right, Micaiah is a prophet of God. So in this next season of go, do, and say, I want to ask you, are you living your life in such a way that others around you would say, seek out your name to give us a true word from the Lord? See, because Micaiah lived his life in such a way that they knew he was a true prophet of God. A true prophet of God, right? Verse 6, but Jehoshaphat said, is there not here a prophet that the Lord of the Lord? Is there not a prophet of the Lord? He says, yeah, there's one out of 400. So they knew it was Micaiah, right? Are you living your life in such a way that others around you would say, go to them for an answer from the Lord? Will someone say that about you? Go to insert your name here to give us a true word from the Lord. See, contrary to popular opinion, how you live your life reveals your heart's condition. I don't care what Facebook tells you. Your life is revealing something to people. What is it? Your life is revealing something to people. What is it? What are you revealing to people? A heart that loves the Lord and seeks him will reveal itself in our speech and actions. Always. Always. See, the repentant heart will reveal itself. And I love this. John the Baptist said, he says, but when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees coming for baptism, he said to them, you brood of vipers, who has warned you to flee and escape from the wrath to come? Bring forth fruit that is consistent with repentance. He says, let your lives prove your change of heart. So you're coming to me to get baptized. He said, but why don't you repent first and then get baptized? Because your baptism is showing your repentance. And he said, and live a life that shows that your heart has been repented. Is that a word? Is that right? Is that good grammar? See, a repentant heart has made a radical break from sin, and it shows in everything you do. You become more loving. You become more forgiving. You want to please God for what he's done for you. Not because we deserve it, but because we have freely received it. Because he freely gave his blood for us, right? Does your life display a break from sin? A radical break from sin. I'm asking you, does your life display a radical break from sin? See, you will always struggle against sin, but there's a difference between living in your sin and struggling against sin. There's a difference. Do your words reveal a heart that loves Jesus? My brethren, let many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. That's for me. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he's a perfect man, also able to bridle the whole body. Indeed, we put bits in horses' mouth that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships, that they are so large and are driven by fierce winds. They are turned by every small rudder where the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and it boasts great things. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, reptile, creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless God, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? No. Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. How do you talk at church, and how do you talk on the job? Because our heart's going to reveal these things. Our heart will reveal these things. What does your Facebook feed look like? Come on, man. Listen, I know people and they say, I love Jesus. And I look on their Facebook feed and there's not one evidence that supports that they love Jesus. They're out to the bars, they're out drinking, they're out partying, they're out doing all this sort of stuff. There's not one evidence to support that they love Jesus. And I said, you're telling me, but you're not showing me. You're not showing me. Folks, this is not judging. Folks, they are displaying their fruit for all to see. And it's a bad witness. If you sit there and say, I love Jesus, I'm a Christian, and you're posting all this stuff on our Facebook feed, it's a bad witness. It's a bad witness. Our actions will always display a repentant heart. 1 John 3:7-8 says, boys, let no one deceive and lead you astray. He who practices righteousness is righteous, even as he is righteous. So what John is saying here, he says, he that practices righteousness, he that lives a life of righteousness is righteous because of the Spirit in him is righteous. So it's that Spirit in him, that righteousness in him, that's going out of him. Does that make sense? So he says, he that does righteousness is righteous because of the Spirit that's in him is righteous, and the fruit comes out. But he says, but he who commits sin, now listen to this, that's someone who practices evil doing. This is what I say, there's a difference between struggling against sin and being a sinner, because a sinner lives in their sin. He who commits sin, he said, so he who continues to practice sin is of the devil. For the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God was manifested was to undo the works of the devil. Jesus Christ came to destroy all the works of the devil. That includes the sin that so easily entangled us before Christ. And now, after Christ, we should have victory over that. And you might struggle against it, because as long as you're in the flesh, you're going to struggle against it. But living in it and struggling against it are two different things. The sinner lives in his sin and he continues to practice sin. The person in Christ is righteous. And he works righteousness because of the righteousness that's in him. Does that make sense? The repentant heart loves what Jesus loves and hates what Jesus hates. If you have the Holy Spirit inside you, you have the mind of Christ, the will of Christ, the heart of Christ. Hebrews 1:9 says, you have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God has anointed you with the oil of gladness more than your companions. Folks, if we have that Holy Spirit inside of us, we have the mind of Christ. We have the Spirit of Jesus inside of us. That Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us, and we have the ability and power to overcome everything. And if we are living the way he wants us to live, that should be displaying in our fruit. Now, the second part is, are you willing to go and do when you're called for, even if it's in front of your enemy? Look at verse 14. He says, and when he was come to the king said, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth-Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, oh, I'm sorry, that's the wrong one. How did I put verse 14? Where does it say where he says, I hate him? There it is, verse 7. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, there's yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him. Right? He says, but I hate him. I hate him. He wasn't liked by the king. He didn't say, I don't like him. He said, I hate him. I hate him. He had to go in front of the face of someone who hated him. See, it's easy to go and do for someone that you love or loves you. That's easy, right? We will go out of our way to do something for somebody that we love. Pretty much every one of us, every single time. Oh, yes, I love you so much. I love them. They're so wonderful. I'll go out of my way for you to do this for you. But what about the mean-spirited? What about those who mock you? Jesus said, but I say to you who are listening now to me, love your enemies. Treat well those who detest you and pursue you with hatred. For if you love those who love you, what quality of credit and thanks is that to you? For even the very sinners love those who love them. So he says, if you're doing it for those that love you, he said, it's of no credit to you. He's like, even the world knows how to do that. But you're called to be different. We're called to be different. Are you willing to pray for those who use you and abuse you? King David did. Psalm 35:11 through 16, he says, malicious and unrighteous witnesses rise up. They ask me of things that I know not. They reward me evil for good to my personal bereavement. He says, but as for me, when they were sick, my clothing was sackcloth. I afflicted myself with fasting and I prayed with my head bowed on my breast. I behaved as if I was grieving for my friend or my brother. I bowed down in sorrow as one who bewails his mother. But in my stumbling and limping, they rejoiced and gathered together against me. And I knew them not. They ceased not to slander and revile me like profane mockers at feast. They gnashed at me with their teeth. And so what did King David said? He said, but I fasted for them. I prayed for them. I went into my mourning for them when they were sick. That's a changed heart. Are you willing to do for them what God tells you to do? Because this is what we are called to do. When Matt and I lived in the townhome, there was a neighbor across the way, and he knows what story I'm going to tell probably. The neighbor across the way, man, and she was mean. And she did not like us no matter how much we tried to love on her, no matter how much we tried to do for her or talk to her or whatever. She just was not a nice person. And there was parking issues and she would take up all the parking just to make us angry. And I mean, she went out of her way to make us just not want to be there, right? And at this point, we had just started the church and we was po, right? We couldn't even afford the OR. We just kidding. we were struggling, right? We were just struggling where we were at. And we didn't have any extra money for anything. And this one time, man, we got some extra money from somewhere and I was at Costco and there was this, blue jean jacket and it was like a padded jacket and had like the, fur up here. And I was like, man, that is so me. And I was like, I have extra money. I'm buying that. You know, at this time, we didn't have money for extra things, right? I mean, we didn't have money for extra food, let alone a jacket. And I had gotten this money and I'm like, man, I'm buying me a jacket. And so I bought this jacket and I bring it home and I'm just like putting it on and God said, go give it to your neighbor. And I was like, you have got to be kidding me. And I was like, oh my gosh, Lord, that was not you. I know it's not you. And he said, you go give it to your neighbor. And so I found a box. It was right around Christmas time. I wrapped it up. I went over there and I just said, I have a present for you. I said, I serve Jesus, and he told me to come give it to you, and I love you, and he loves you, and this is for you. And she never said thank you. She didn't talk to us after that. She didn't, you know, nothing. But I was like, I did what God asked me to do to my enemy. Now, she wasn't really my enemy, but she didn't like, I was her enemy. She did not like us. Folks, this is what we are called to do. Number three is, are you willing to say what God tells you to say? Right? As the Lord lives, even what my God says, that is all I will speak. That and only that, that's all I'm going to speak, only what my God tells me to speak. I will only say what God tells me to say. So are you willing to stand up in the face of opposition to proclaim God's word? See, we're too afraid to speak about Jesus in public. We'll talk about him here. We'll talk about it in our homes, behind closed doors. What about in public? What about praying for others in public? What about telling someone something they don't want to hear, but God told you to tell them that? But we have a fear of offending. We fear what people will think about us. We fear being persecuted. But see, then we haven't been made perfect in love, because perfect love casts out fear. Perfect love casts out fear. Yes, have wisdom. Yes, have discernment. But now is the time to let the voices of God's children be heard. Now is the time. Acts 4:15-20 says, but when they had commanded them to go outside of council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? They're talking about the apostles preaching the name of Jesus. For indeed, a notable miracle has been done through them, and it's evident. We cannot deny it, but so that it spreads no further among the people, let us severely threaten them, that from now on they speak to no man in this name. And so they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them and said, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you more than to God, you can judge. But we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So they said, well, you know, if you want to think that, you can judge on that, but we're going to do what God's told us to do. We're going to say what God's told us to say. No matter how much you threaten us, no matter how much you beat us, we're not going to shut up. That's what he's saying in today's language. Acts 5:40-42, it says, and they agreed with him, and when they had called for the apostles and they'd beaten them, so now they're beaten, they commanded they should not speak in the name of Jesus, and they let him go. So they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and in every house, they did not cease teaching and preaching Jesus. The apostles did it in the face of the Roman Empire. We always think, oh, they didn't have any opposition. Are you kidding me? The Roman Empire was, you know, down them all the time, throwing Christians in the lion's, you know, den. Just have at them, you know, using them for sport. Let the lions eat them up. The child of God does not walk in fear, but in faith. We do not walk in fear. We do not walk in fear. God has not given us a spirit of fear. There you go. Love, power, and a sound mind, right? Would you speak the word of God if he sent you before the Senate? Even if you were told not to say anything about Jesus. What about the mayor? What about the president? Will you speak words that please God or please people? Paul said, for if I persuade men, do I now persuade men or God? For if I seek to please men, if I still please men, I would not be a servant of Christ. So he said, if I'm living to please men, I'm not a servant of Christ. That's what he said. Woo, let that sink in a minute. Do you have the courage and boldness to speak God's word to this generation? See, the world wants you to shut up. The world wants us to shut up, and they're doing everything they can to shut us up. And it's okay to believe and have an opinion on anything as long as it's not the truth of the Bible or Jesus. Because as soon as we start saying what the Word of God says, then we just get lambasted. That's God's Word. I'm not backing down. I'm not shutting up. Thank you, sister. I was down at Kent Station the other night meeting with a friend, and I was talking with her, and I'm pretty sure they were Muslims, and they were on the table next to us, and they're having coffee, and their kids are running around. And I said, we talked and we're done. And I said, can I just pray for you? And she's like, yes, please, please, I need it. And so we're sitting outside, you know, and so I just held her hand and I just start praying in the name of Jesus. And I looked up and they had all left. They left their coffees on the table even. They just got up and left. And I said, you know what? I don't care. And I'm not trying to offend anybody. See, because love is not rude or disrespectful. And if you're trying to create a scene and push your way in, that's the wrong heart. But I'm there trying to minister to somebody in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to shut up about it. I'm not going to not speak Jesus' name because somebody doesn't like it. I'm just not going to do it. And if they say, you better shut up, or you're going to jail, I said, well, then I'm going to jail in Jesus' name. And I'm okay with that. I'm not going to shut up. See, that condition, the one that's trying to get its way, right, it says, I'll do what I want to do. But see, we want the one that says, I will do what God wants me to do. I will do what God wants me to do, right? If you're honestly sharing the word, if you're honestly sharing the gospel, if you're honestly sharing his love, don't shut up. Don't. This culture is counterculture to God's ways. People need to see and hear Christians living and speaking the gospel. Folks, if we're going to be lights, we need to be living and speaking the gospel. Living and speaking the gospel. The world needs truth now more than ever. There's a great falling away taking place right now, and the Bible calls it the great apostasy. And this is happening, and you can look at the world. You can see it right now. You can see it in America. There's a great apostasy taking place. People are falling away from the truth of God's word. But there is a final harvest coming in as well. There's a final harvest coming in, and God said, it is ripe and it is ready, and he needs laborers. He needs laborers. And so we got to get our eyes right, guys. We got to get ready. We got to be prepared for what God is bringing in. And when God says their heart is right, he says, you need to rush in. Because there's going to be a time when their heart is right to hear that word that you have for them. And when he says go, you got to go. When he says do, you got to do and speak that word. When he tells you to speak it, because their heart is ripe and ready. It's ready. God is speeding things up right now. The time is short. The sower and the reaper are in the field together. This is the season right now, folks. You know, the Bible says that we will reap what we sow, right? We will reap what we sow. And for so many times, sometimes you just see you're sowing and sowing and sowing and sowing, and you may not reap a harvest for years, but God said, this season, the sower and the reaper are in the harvest together. That means one is sowing, the other's reaping it right away. So God is speeding things up because the time is short. And so we need to be in the field at the same time. As soon as you plant that seed, you're going to reap it up. So be careful what you're planting. Be careful what you're planting. And the last part of this, are you willing to make a fool of yourself for God? Right? Zedekiah, he came near and he smote Micaiah on the cheek. Here we have one man that stood up against 400 he was the only one speaking the truth. 400 other prophets weren't speaking the word of God. He was the only one speaking the truth, and he looked like a fool to everybody else. And Zedekiah came up and mocked him to his face, and he slapped him on his face. And he's like, that's fine. I know what God, I know who God is. I know what the word says. I'm be willing to make myself a fool for God. It's okay. See, God might ask you to do something that looks crazy. Come on, man. Man, y'all, we serve a supernatural God. The God that opened the Red Sea is the same God we serve today. We serve a God that works in mysterious ways. I call them crazy ways. Right? He does whatever he wants to, however he wants to, and it is beyond our own ways of thinking, right? My ways are higher than your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts. That's the God we serve. He does some crazy things. Ezekiel had to lay on his left side for 390 days. Come on, man. This is the word of God. The prophet Isaiah was commanded by God to walk around naked and barefoot for 3 years. That's 3 years, people. That's three winters. No protection against cold breezes, gawking eyes, and nothing between your sensitive toes and sharp, pokey things on the ground. 3 years. And we read that and we're like, oh, wow. Come on, man, that's crazy. Are you ready to strip down for God?
Not tonight, please.
Ezekiel had to eat cow dung. Dung. That is poop. Jeremiah was ordered not to attend any funerals or show sympathy for those in grief because God's patience was exasperated. Come on, man. God asked his people to do crazy things sometimes. Right? Are you willing to make yourself a fool for God? I'm going to end with this, 2 Samuel, and this is David danced before the Lord with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod, means he just had on a little loincloth. A little loincloth. And it says he danced before the Lord with all his might. They brought up the Ark of the Covenant, and he said, I don't care who's watching. I don't care what people think of me. I don't care what people say about me. I don't care. I'm going to dance before the Lord with everything that I have. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting with the sound of the trumpet. And the ark of the Lord came into the city of David. And Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw King David leaping and whirling before the Lord. And she despised him in her heart. His own wife despised him. And she said, you look like a fool today. And he said, well, fine, you think I look like a fool? I'm never going into you again. That means he never had sex with her again. She never had kids. That was a big shame on her in that culture. Are you willing to make yourself a fool for God? Dance before the Lord with all your might. If you want to do great things for God, be willing to look like a fool. Amen? Amen. Amen. Man, go do, say, and look like a fool. Yeah. Amen? Stay clothed. All right, stay clothed. Do you have to say that?
In church.
In church. Stay clothed. All right.
All right. Is that it?
Yeah, are you going to pray?
Yeah, I'm going to
okay.
pray. Okay. Stand up. Grab your hand.